Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
You know, I just love that song, Look Beyond Your Horizons. I mean, I wrote it for an independent documentary, and I wrote it in the shower. I'll never forget that. But, you know, it just, there is so much truth to it. And I find myself, when I'm feeling a little lost or not centered, or worried about my future, that I go back to that song and listen to the lyrics that I wrote, which I don't take credit for. I give it to the universe. I think the universe fed it to me because it has such an incredible message to people. We have a tendency to kind of put these blocks in front of ourselves and not realize how much more there is in life that we can't even possibly plan or create. We can just be and believe. And, but it's constantly about improving ourselves. And that song, when I wrote it, I had a vision in the middle of the night of having all these wonderfully strong women singing it with me. And so I made a list of all the, you know, powerhouse vocalists in Detroit that I believed would, you know, who really had been through the trenches of working their business and sustaining their careers and what it was like, the lows and the highs, and to understand that we were getting to a certain age where, you know, what now, you know, the plans that we had in our 20s is not the same, even though sometimes you have a tendency to stay in that rut, but that there could be so much more. And one of those women that I invited was not known as a vocalist of sorts, not a singer anyway. She was a DJ, but she wasn't a singer. And I wanted her there. I wanted her spirit. I wanted her energy. I believed she would have been, you know, would make such a great impact on the rest of us just being in her presence. And at first she was like, you know, I don't sing really, right? And I was like, I don't care. I want you here. And, you know, so she agreed. And I was so happy she did. And we have her. She was not only my very first guest on Dream Big Radio, but she is now coming back for a visit. How are you, Miss Linda Lexi?
Hi, Jill Jack.
How are you?
I'm great, and I'm blessed, and I'm really happy to be hanging out with you again on this wonderful snowy Michigan day.
It is snowy, isn't it? Yes, it's freezing, but yeah. I knew you'd make it nice and toasty for us, so that's why I wanted you on the show.
We're bringing the heat, baby.
Bringing the heat, yeah, make it work. So, you know, I want to talk to you because last time you were on the show, we talked about your career and, mm-hmm. you know, all the background of, you know, how you got to where you are. What I want to talk about now is what you're doing now. I mean, your Facebook posts are, you know how sometimes I'm asking the listeners, you have these calendars that give you these, you know, one shot of positiveness that you can carry throughout the day. That's how I feel about your Facebook posts. And I think I've nudged you before, like, write a book. And you're like, nope, we're just doing this. What is your process to even come up with those every day? And you always seem to hit the day that I need, what I need. You say what I need. How do you do that?
I'm honored by all of that, Jill, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say in regard to these posts, which have kind of taken a life of their own, mm-hmm. and I'm always humbled when people come up and say the most profound things to me in regard to those. And Tino said they say the same thing to him about my posts. It's a humbling thing. But as you know, there's really no process to me. It's getting out of God's way. Mm-hmm. And allowing myself to be a vessel, because I spend a lot of time in my life as a counterposture to this world that we live in a lot of spiritual study and prayer and meditation. I put a lot of effort into making sure that that's the most prevalent, alive and well part of my being. And so anything that I post just comes to me. It's not thought out. It's not today I'm going to talk about this. It just happens as a result of that time that I spend. It just comes up, and then I know I have to go and say it, because if it's relating to me, it's relating to someone else. And that that shared communication is really how we evolve as a species, how we protect the things that need protecting in this world, elevate the things that need elevating, and lift each other up and out through our experiences. So for me, that's why when people mention writing a book, I always say, well, it's kind of written and you get to read it for free, because it's just, you know,
It's so true.
And I'm not looking for compensation. It's funny that you mentioned that too, Jill, because you make me think about a woman who had reached out to me once in private message. And she said, I see what you're attempting to do, and I appreciate it, but I think you should not talk about this, or maybe talk more about that.
And that
I was creating a persona to be compensated and to become famous through, when that's never been my intent ever.
It's not your agenda. And you don't have an agenda.
No, not at all. And in fact, I've been writing like this since I was a kid. It's always just been a part of my being and a part of my expression.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's what I wondered. You know, sometimes as we get older, we our views change and things like that. So you're saying that this has been a part of you your whole life?
My whole life. You know, I started writing motivational type and heartfelt type of poetry and short stories and even little songs. You know, my first song is when I was in first grade, I wrote about water pollution. So I was always sensitive and aware of things. And, you know, but as you say, Jill, we do grow and we do evolve and through our process. And when we let go and hand over that process to the divine, then we find that we naturally evolve into the places that we're meant to be. And through those changes, we find an identity with other people, not only with ourselves, but with other people. And to me, that's the most important part of all of it.
Let me ask you this. When you were young and you felt all this, that's a lot for a kid to feel. Did you have a support system? Like, I know you show beautiful pictures of your mother. Was she aware of your intuitiveness? Was she aware that at a young age you were, I mean, most kids were just like, where's my 10 speed? I just want to go for a bike ride. I mean, you know, where I got to say, I wasn't thinking about pollution in first grade. So, you know, where did she recognize it, or did you just kind of keep it bottled up and in your journals?
Well, I was a little weirdo kid that way. And I know that she and pretty much probably everyone around me was aware of it. Mm-hmm. But because she was a single mom raising four kids by herself, and working on the assembly line at Ford Motor and cleaning houses at night.
Right.
And my dad was not in the picture. You know, there wasn't this great celebration, and my sensitivity could sometimes be, a source of, okay, dial back the sensitivity a little bit.
Right.
But it's so that there's enough to go around for everybody. And mm-hmm. I understand that dynamic now. And as a mom and a grandmother, I understand all of those dynamics of family and people. But it was definitely something that moved through my entire life in one form or another, through all the ups and downs. That was either something that I contended with or was strangely comforted by.
Well, you know, what's beautiful is that through all these years now, you've somewhat, even though, you know, it's not intentional, it's a craft that's been honed. I mean, you know, that, like I said, I mean, I'm always affected by everything that you write. I look forward to it. And, you know, what you don't know is that you motivated me on so many levels, either with a spiritual level or even a health level. You know, your involvement with yoga, and now you're like a yoga instructor. Is that
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher. I mean, you know, to show, you know, because a lot of people, I think, are I know a lot of people are afraid of yoga, or kind of, you know, like, I don't know if I could do that, or I could, you know, they always see it as this big, huge thing, or scary to be in the same room with people in positions that you wouldn't, you know, normally be in front of, you know, public. But, you know, realizing it's such more, much more than just, you know, positions. It's a spiritual strengthening. And, you know, I want to talk to you about how did you get in? I mean, did you just start doing the yoga and then realizing this was another avenue for you?
Well, it's funny because things always tend to, you know, I always say God leads you where he needs you. And I had overcome a severe back injury where I blew out my L4 disc. And then after that, after years of dealing with that holistically, I fell down my porch and separated my shoulder. So I was always athletic, always exercise conscious. I taught aerobics and body toning and all those things in the 80s and the early 90s. So it was always fitness and sports were always a big thing to me. And so to have that kind of phased out really dropped me into a low that I had to fight my way through.
It kind of robbed you of part of who you were, right?
And my quality of life. And people would wonder, oh, is Lexi, why isn't she coming to all these things? You know, she thinks she's too good. No, honey, I can't move.
Wow. Wow.
I'm not comfortable in a chair. I'm not comfortable standing. Well, obviously, you know, flash forward, all that has substantially changed. And my friend, Barbara Deo, whom you know, owns the yoga room, and I've known Barb for 22 years. The yoga room, boxing ring, shout out. That's my home. And, you know, she had asked me to MC her ribbon cutting ceremony 6 years ago when they opened the place. And I knew that she was an actively practicing yogi for many years. And so finally one day I just said, you know, I got to get in there and do this. It was something that I always thought about and wanted to do. So the opportunity just presented itself. And once I got in there, I just found a passion. And I started, as true to my own self, I always tend to really immerse myself. And I immersed myself in the practice and the books and giving that proper time to nurturing everything, fully knowing almost immediately that I wanted to eventually teach. So,
so you had the intention there before. And, you know, what would you advise people who are scared to try yoga?
First of all, that we all start somewhere. If you think that I walked in the door doing a headstand, you would be grossly wrong.
I did wonder about that. I am one of those people that's like, how is she doing that? You know, especially since I had a neck injury as a young kid. I'm like, I don't think I can do that. You know, so what do you do about that when people are fearful of trying something like that? You know, so you're just
don't try it until you're ready, and don't try it at all if you're not.
Okay.
You come in with what you have. You don't come in with what you don't have. You know,
beautiful.
Even though that there's a growth process to it that gives you something, you come in with who you are and what you have that day. And you know, Jill, as people, every day we're different. We're stronger some days than others. We're more focused some days than others.
Yeah.
So even I myself, after the last, you know, 4 years of doing this and now teaching, you know, I come in with what I have that day and just focus on that. And if all you do is lay on your mat the whole time, you've committed that time to yourself. So I feel that even the tiniest thing you do in that space, you're growing and you're contributing. And it's a practice of centimeters and not miles.
That is brilliant. See, I know you don't want to do a book, but you really do need to. one thing too is that another thing that you inspired me was I've always had like a little prayer corner kind of thing, but you know, you've posted your own space. And
which I'm in right now.
Oh, I love it. And you know, I tell my Dream Big clients, you know, find somewhere in your house. It doesn't have to be, you know, a room in itself. It could just be
a little corner.
It could be somewhere, but know that mentally that is your space. Well, you've like encouraged me without you even knowing that my space is so beautiful now that even my husband, he kind of jokes about it. He's like, it's so peaceful in here. But he knows all of a sudden you see his body language change, his shoulders relax, the dog sleeping in front of him, you know, I mean, and it gets, it's quiet. It's beautiful. Of course. And then I smudge when they leave. But, you know, I just love it. So what I want to talk about too, is this one of your most recent posts is something that I experience and I'm sure we all experience, in regard to improving ourselves, you know, especially with, you know, like you said, we have our own process and, our outside forces don't always understand it. So,
right.
I mean, I remember when I first started my singing career and a person who was super, super close to me, you would think would be supportive, but she took a stand on, she took a different stance. She was like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you singing? I didn't know you even wanted to sing. And it was, it came from this space and I was shocked you know, or my parents going, are you crazy? What are you quitting your day job for? Are you nuts? You know, those
Absolutely.
Kind of things that can knock you off kilter. Meanwhile, your insides are screaming, you have to do this. But yep. the outside forces, for whatever reason. So you touched on that. And I think, could you kind of tell a little bit more about, you know, I mean, we have to battle our own ugly little voices in our head, let alone, you know, the outside forces. But how do you stay, you know, how do you stay focused within this? And what are some of your experiences that you've had, if you don't mind sharing, like that lady, you know, telling you what to say? That just I get that all the time. You know, you're a musician. You should be talking about politics. I'm like, did you hear what you just said? I'm like, did you hear what you just said? I'm a musician. I should be talking about politics. Who cares what I think? I mean, and if you are a musician who believes believes that they should talk about it, well, that's your right. But that's not what I do. I just bring light. And to me, politics are light. So that's why I don't want to talk about it. I want people to forget about it for 2 hours when I'm on stage. So
I feel the exact same way, Jill. And I respect everybody who has a message. And I think that that's important. If that's the burning message inside of you.
Right.
But the funny thing is how often we all, I mean, there's more stories than I could possibly share than of the people that have, tried to discourage me throughout my life. And most often it comes through the people that you're closest to because they can hurt you. And I just feel like that's a negative force that exists that's always going to try to knock you down if you're headed into and ready to receive your own greatness. Mm-hmm. Your own mission that has a deeper level of importance to it. And if you're of the consciousness that embraces that sense of purpose like you are, mm-hmm. and hopefully I am too, because that's what motivates me. Mm-hmm. But if that's what is behind your effort, you are going to come against those forces. And so as the saying goes, your test becomes your testimony when you keep pushing through. And so that's what always drives me. And is that sense of the need to push through for the greater mission.
Test is your testimony. That is, I've never heard that before.
That's
I am going to tattoo that on my forehead.
Because it's so vitally important. And the minute that we give up based on how someone is making us feel, who's probably not feeling that great about themselves in order to do that to another person. Mm-hmm. If we allow that to stop us, then we've totally abandoned, whether we like it or not, our own mission.
And then on top of it, you're living their life instead of your own.
You're living their life and they're not even living their
own life.
No, if they're looking at yours, how could they possibly be living there?
Well, what's funny about the story I told you about the person who was close to me and said that, a year later, I got a letter from her apologizing. And she said it was forcing her to look at her own life and realize that she didn't feel she had a purpose. And
how beautiful that is.
It was amazing because it didn't stop me. What she told me,
obviously,
I was hurt, but it didn't stop me. And it seemed like the more people said no to me, the more juice I got. I'm going to show you, but it was just like, it was like the hunger inside me was pushing. Every time somebody tried to shove it down, it fought back. And it didn't even feel like it was me. It felt like this alien inside of me that's like, hey, baby, I'm leading, you know, follow because your body's with me. So I do love that. I think another experience that I had when I opened Dream Big Incorporated, I actually put the cart before the horse. I rented my office space before I even had a client. I bought the furniture. I did all this stuff. And my husband's like, what are you doing? You know, he's practical. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I believe if I have this, this will encourage me. I have to get clients now. Right. So here I was my first day sitting behind my desk in my beautiful office that I handpicked everything that I wanted special. And I got an email and I was so excited. And so I read the email, and this email was from a person I didn't know. And they said, who the hell do you think you are opening this business? What makes you think that you have anything to offer anyone? And it went straight for the jugular, straight for the fear, every little fear.
Person.
Yeah. And I started shaking and crying, and I called my husband. He's like, where is he? You know, kind of thing. Well, we tried to email him back. I did. And it wouldn't go through. So it was a very strange thing, but it was a test. Like you said,
yep.
It was like, okay, yeah, take the punch, but now get back up. You know, you're
right.
Not dead. This person, you don't even know who he is. So why would you even listen to him? But
and give him the wheel
and give
your
him the wheel.
Future.
Right.
And it's like, you know, my whole thought process is, please count me out, because that has been what's fueled me every single time. Please count me out, because it's just going to strengthen my resolve. And I can't not say to myself what I would say to somebody else. Like I tell my grandson all the time when he encounters things in life at 10 years old, I always say, your best response to everything is excellent.
Wonderful.
And so if we're being excellent in the face of those things, look out for you.
Right. Exactly.
Your importance is going to be magnified, because your value is magnified because you get it. And it's within everybody, but we can't be responsible for who taps in and who doesn't. And we can't run around and find out why people disapprove of us. That's on them. What we have to do is just put on, like I say, bling out the blinders if you need to bling them, but put them on and just keep going.
You got to start selling those. I know you don't want to sell anything and make money, but I love that.
I mean, I do love money, but it's not the ruling force, and it's not the motivation certainly behind the spiritual side of me. And I just let God lead me wherever I'm going, and just have trust and faith in that. And like with you building your office, to me, that's an act of faith.
Yes.
And so an act of faith can't help but be fed, but you got to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't on our time, and we have to look at our own economy. I also refer to God's economy in my life, because that's really important perspective for me, my living under God's economy. Money can be part of that, but there's a whole multitude of what else falls under that umbrella of wealth and abundance. And so it's in the little things, it's in all things. And so if I can look at it that way, then I am all of a sudden a very, very wealthy person.
I'm ridiculously getting chills, and it is not because of the snow outside. It is because everything you're saying is so, it's so influential to me. I want to ask you, I think for me, and maybe you, this happens to you. I know it happens to a lot of people that I talk to. How do you stay present?
By reminding myself that I need to be, and then devoting that time to being aware of whether or not I am. And if I'm not, I breathe. And my breath is the most important aspect, you know, which is a big part of yoga as well. But the breath is number one. And so just taking in that life-affirming oxygen on a deeper level than we do in our normal breathing pattern and calming my mind, it allows me to step into a space of presence. But if you're not aware that you're not present, it's hard to get there.
Right. Right.
So you first have to question yourself, and the greater wisdom is not holding up a microscope or a magnifying glass, but a mirror. So if we look at ourselves and say, how can I improve? Then at the very least, we're going to start to seek out avenues that allow us to do that. But you have to think you need to improve first. And there's not any day of anyone's life that there isn't some way they could be better. I don't care what they're doing, how great it is. You can always be better than you are in any moment, but you cannot get there without the acknowledgement of the importance of that moment and claiming it. It's all we have.
I know we don't talk politics, but Linda Lexie for president 2020.
No, give me that rock job.
Yeah, but you would change it. That's the whole thing. You would make it beautiful.
God.
We would all have like mandatory meditation first thing in the morning. We'd all be in great shape, really healthy and loving each other. I think that it could be, I'd vote for you. Just saying, I could be your campaign manager. No, okay, we won't talk politics. But
Thanks, Jill. Love you,
so,
too.
So tell me what your classes are like now that you're a teacher. Tell me what they're like. What do you... and what level are they, and you know, how can we find them?
Well, I've created my own class at the nudging of Barbara Dale. While she was injured, her and I was apprenticing under her the last couple years, and before I started my teacher training. And when she got injured, she had surgery, I should say, and she had to take some time off. So in my yoga space at home, I started incorporating some basic body toning, target toning, you know, a la my classes that I used to teach Jane Fonda stuff back in the 80s. And that's always effective and works. So I started incorporating that into my yoga at home and was getting some pretty nice results. So Barb said, I'd like you to do that in the yoga room and teach what you're doing. And so we came up with the idea of the name Synergy for my class, which is the combination of two great elements to make a greater, and 1 + 1 = 3, basically. Mm. And so I it's like a yoga sandwich with some body toning in the middle. So I think that it incorporates the best of all things.
Do you have to be a certain level to go?
No, you don't. No, I mean, you'll be challenged if you're at a beginner level, but you'll be challenged if you're at a higher level. And again, it's the sort of thing, if you need to stop or pull back or whatever, do that.
Right.
It's okay.
Listen to yourself.
Because eventually you'll get there, but you can't get there if you're fearful and you think you have to be at a certain level to do it. Believe me, I fell down a million times before I got up into headstand. And that's not going to even be part of my class. There are other classes that can nurture that there in the space. And it's a great program that they have going on there with Velocity, which is Barb Habinyasa, and Gravity, which is the deep tissue stretch of yin taught by Deb. So all of us have, and of course, Mike's boxing programs out in the gym. So it's kind of like an all over elite program that I'm honored to be part of in a space that has nurtured me. But again, there's the key. It's the nurturing and the devoted time to self without expectation, without judgment. It is a no judgment space. You don't have to eat a certain way, believe a certain way, have a certain fitness level. None of that applies. Just get down with your bad self.
Where can they find this? Why don't you give us the website so that people in Michigan can find you?
Go to deyogaroom.com, DEYOGA room, one word, deyogaroom.com. And you'll see the schedule. You'll see the class descriptions. And first class is free. And we have some really nice membership packages and deals and stuff going on for somebody that is thinking about committing, but they want to try it out. I would absolutely love to have you, Miss Jill Jack.
I would love to be there. So plan on it when I get back from Haiti.
Yay!
So let me, we're running out of time here, but for anyone who is not in the Michigan area and wants to get words of encouragement and ways to center yourself in the morning or any day of the week, go ahead and follow Linda Lexi. I'm sure she's probably got friends up the yin yang on Facebook, but you can still follow her and be able to see these beautiful posts that she has. They are life-changing. Let them sink in. Linda, thank you so much for joining me again on Dream Big. And trust me, you will be back if you would like to be back. We'd love to have you.
I adore you, Jill, anytime, every time. And safe journey to Haiti. You're doing wonderful stuff there.
Thank you.
And continue to be awesome and blessed. I love you tons.
Love you too. Take care.